Good morning, church. Like Brian just said, Marissa and I have felt your love and hospitality throughout the week, and we just like to say a heartfelt thank you to everyone that calls Pacific Community Church home for your warmth and your love that you have expressed to us. We are undoubtedly grateful. And now that I've said that, I'd like for us to begin with a word of prayer. If you could just bow your heads with me as we approach God's throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we recognize, dear Jesus, that there is no one else like you in all the universe. And because of that, dear God, we give you the glory and we just exalt you. Right now, Heavenly Father, as I deliver your word, I pray that myself will become small and you will be made large, and that your words shall come forth from my lips, and that your people will be receptive to your words. We give you the glory and we give you the honor for all that you have done throughout the week, and we ask that your Holy Spirit and your anointing will fall upon this place even now. In Jesus' name, amen. As I begin my sermon this morning, I would like to pose a question to each and every one of you under the hearing of my voice. But before I ask this question, it's an important question. It's a simple question, but it's an important question nonetheless. But before I do so, I need to offer clarification on three terms, three simple terms that will help us to engage thoughtfully as we seek to critically engage with the question I'm about to pose. The three terms are this. The first one is the word message. Message. And for the purposes of this sermon, a message refers to a report that details information that is being sent from a messenger to a receiver. Message, for the purposes of this sermon, simply refers to a detailed report that is being sent from a sender to a receiver. The second word that I'd like to offer clarification on is the word transmit. Transmit. And again, for the purposes of my homily today, the word transmit simply means to pass something from one person to another, or to pass something from one place to another. So transmit just simply means to pass something from one person to another, or to move it from one place to another. And the third and final term that I'm seeking to offer clarification on is the word others. Others. And for the purposes of this sermon, the word others simply means each and every person within the sphere of our influence. So that includes our friends, our family, acquaintances, and even the people that tends to rub us the wrong way from time to time. The people that we don't necessarily like, when we have to pretend to be a little bit holier than thou because these people just rubs us the wrong way. So others includes each and every single person that we encounter on a daily basis. And so, now that I've offered clarification on the three terms in question, I would like for you to simply reflect upon this. What message is your life transmitting to others? What message is your life transmitting to others? And because I'm not preaching to you alone and I'm preaching to myself, I will state it like this. What message are our lives transmitting to others? Just reflect for a moment or two on that question and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you as you do so. Now that you have engaged your minds for a while on the question that I've thus asked and you're still processing, I would like to share with you a story. And I believe that this story has the power to change the way in which we think about our faith and to inform that question that I just posed to you. And the story is about a woman. Her story is told by three different authors, at least, but none of the authors take the time to mention her name. And so she's an anonymous character. However, we are given great insight into the plight that she faced. We are told that this woman struggled with diseases for her entire life, it almost seems, but 12 years to be exact, she struggled with hemorrhaging. She bled. And so, as you would imagine, she sought medical advice, she sought medical professionals to gain insight into how she could remedy this situation. And she spent all that she had. But scholars and readers are led to believe that even though she sought the opinion of medical professionals, her disease grew worse. And so we have a woman who is unnamed, who has been bleeding for 12 years, and who has sought out the help of doctors, but has not gotten better. Until one day, she encountered a transcendental man, who earlier in that day, he was he performed this amazing act where he was in this town and there were 2,000 demons that was within this man, a legion of demons. That's around 2,000 persons, with 2,000 demons being founded in this individual. And that man, this transcendental figure, casted out those 2,000 demons, those legion of demons, into a herd of pigs, into a herd of 2,000 pigs themselves. And the pigs jumped off the cliff. And if you know anything about the society in that time, livestock was important to their economy. Imagine the stock market crumbling in today's world. All of us would be panicking. What does that mean for the world economy? And so the people in the town were in a panic. They were in a state of worry because this man had essentially performed a miraculous act for the man, but performed an act that was hinderous to the rest of the community. And so they encouraged him to leave. And so him and his followers, hopped on a boat and they sailed across the lake. And when they got to the other side of the lake, they encountered a large crowd. And included in that crowd was a man who was the leader of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. And his daughter had taken ill. And so Jairus pleaded before this transcendental figure, asking him to please come to my house to heal my daughter. And he agreed to do so. And while they were on the way to the synagogue leader's home, there was a large crowd encompassed around him, and he felt somebody touching him. As one of the disciples asked a wise question in my mind, there's so many people around you. Why would you ask who touched you? I'm pretty sure he was being touched from the left to the right, the back, the front. Everywhere was being hemmed in by people around him. But he said, no, I felt some of my power leave my being to heal someone else. And so this is where we encountered the woman, the unnamed character, touching the transcendental figure who is Jesus, and she was made well. But one is left to think about what caused her to have the confidence that if she only reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be made well. Verse 27 and 28 of Mark chapter 5 gives us insight into this. And I'll read it for us. The word of the Lord says, having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. And I'll read the key part in verse 27. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him. She heard about Jesus. She heard reports about what Jesus had done. And so we are left to wonder, maybe she heard about some of the miraculous acts that he performed in his life. Maybe she heard that he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe she heard that he healed individuals with leprosy. And maybe she also thought about the fact that he was sovereign, because just early in the day, maybe word spread that he casted out a legion of demons out of a demon-possessed man who was in a cave, and he was made well. And so that showed he had sovereignty and power to not only speak to miraculous things that could be perceived to be somewhat natural, but he had control of demonic forces as well. So maybe that gave her confidence. And maybe she also thought about the fact that he was a bit of a lawbreaker. He performed acts on the Sabbath. And for those of you who may not know, touching someone who was hemorrhaging would have made one ceremonially unclean. The person would have been made unclean in the sight of the Jewish law. And so maybe she thought that because he was a lawbreaker in other acts, that he would have no problem if I reached out and touched him. Maybe all those things informed her. And so you may be saying to yourself today, Prince, that's a cute story. Story from 2,000 years ago. Yes, told in three different gospels, but how does it apply to my life today? But I think it applies to our life greatly. Especially if you're in the room today and you yourself are Christian. Because each and every one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ have encountered God's healing power through the person of Jesus Christ himself, who died upon the cross for our sins. Each and every one of us has struggled with a disease for all of our lives called sin. It has dominated our lives from the day we were born to the point where we are right now. If we were to be honest and to reflect upon the way sin has inhabited us, where sin has controlled us, we would gladly say to each other, if we were to be vulnerable with each other, that sin has crippled me. But I encountered relief. We all encountered relief who are Christ followers in the room when we decided to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and reached out and touch him in a spiritual sense. And all of us in the room who had the confidence to do that did it because of something we potentially heard about Jesus. Maybe someone lived before us. For me, I had a dad who was a pastor, and he modeled the Christian life before me. And that gave me confidence to know if I were to put my life and my trust into the hands of Jesus Christ, that I would be making a good decision with my life. Maybe for others, it was a minister like myself who was preaching God's word before you. Maybe the power of the Holy Spirit's convicting force came upon your life as someone was speaking for God's word, and it gave you the power, it gave you the confidence to know that if you reached out and touched Jesus, that your life would be made whole. Whatever the story behind your salvation encounter was, each and every one of us had the confidence to know that if we reached out and touched Jesus in whatever means by which we did it, we would have been saved ourselves. And so, what does that mean for us who are Christians today who are already saved? It means that we have to reflect upon what message our lives are transmitting to others. What do other people hear when they observe us? What are we communicating to the men and the women that we encounter on a daily basis at work, at school, or when we are playing, or when we're at the gym? What do people learn about our lives when they come in contact with us? Are we transmitting a message that makes them want to know who Jesus is? Or are we communicating something that is contrary to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This is a very important question for all believers to consider on a regular. Because it calls for introspection. It calls for us to look in the mirror and to say, hey, am I living up to par with the Master and the Messiah and the Savior who has transformed my life? Or am I living in such a way that I do his name shame from time to time? And I'm not saying that it calls for perfect living, because none of us can accomplish that. But it calls for us to readily live into the power of the Holy Spirit and to live into the power of Christ himself. It's for us to say that it's Jesus Christ and him crucified who I want to communicate to the world around me. And however you choose to do that in your daily lives, it has to be marked first and foremost by the way in which we live. Our character has to be reflective of what Jesus Christ himself demonstrated in his word. And so today, as I minister God's word to you, I really want you to take the time to consider the message that your lives are transmitting to the world around you. Is it a message that is in line with God's word and the description that we see of his son? Or is it a message that falls short of that? And if it falls short of that, I encourage you not to get down upon yourself, but to live into God's word, to dig into it, to read it, to come to church on a regular basis and to engage with the community around you and to live into that truth together, so that the people in Cloverdale and Surrey and the rest of Breezy on a wider scale will come to know Jesus Christ through the lives in which we live. I believe the gospel has the power to have a multiplier effect when we go out into the world if we communicate the truth of what his word says. And so, as I look to close, I just want to encourage each and every one of us under the hearing of my voice to take time to consider thoughtfully as you go throughout the week the messages that our lives transmit to the world around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity to be here at Pacific, to have the privilege to share your word to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I ask, dear God, that as we seek to live into the truths of your word, that you will help us to be men and women who live lives that are reflective of your son, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, the one true savior of the world. I ask, dear God, that any inhabitant in our beings that will distract us from accomplishing that will be taken away, but our lives, dear God, will live into the truth of your word. Give us the strength to make it when we cannot push on, because we know we need you to do it. In your son's holy and precious name, amen.
Thank you, Prince. Let's prepare our hearts to receive Christ in the bread and the cup. Thinking about what we've just heard, Paul once made the comment to one of the churches that when the church is gathered together around the table, he said, and the power of the Lord Jesus is among you. Interesting thing that he said in 1 Corinthians 5, when you gather together for the feast, he said, keep the feast. And then he makes the comment shortly after, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present. So the same Jesus that had the power leave him and go into the woman to heal her is here now. Through the body, in the body, in and through one another, through the word that has just been spoken, and in some mystical, miraculous way, through the Eucharist. This is Christ. He is here with us. And so as the Lord has spoken through this message this morning, let's all just reach out and touch him for what we need. Let's reach out and touch Jesus. He is here. And Holy Spirit, as our hearts have been burning within us through the exposition of the text, we pray now in the same way our spiritual eyes would be open in the breaking of the bread. For we know that you are walking with us along the way. You are sharing your life with us. You are here. You are with us. You are in us. And we want to encounter you this morning. For the scripture says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then after dinner, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you will in remembrance of me." And now, Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to minister the life of Jesus Christ, his healing, his forgiveness, his reconciliation, his love and grace to every person here as we receive this holy meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.